We're holding on your Gimel Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. The Mishnah said, that a Yavama, so we said a regular wife is Nichnes, with one of three ways, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, and we've been going through that extensively. Then we said a Yavama, there's only one way in which the Yavama acquires her as a wife, and that is with Bia. So the Gemara says, Bia Menolan. How do we know, in fact, that by Yavama, it's only Bia and not the other methods of Kesef and Shtar? Now, we did learn in Yavamas that eventually the Chachamim made a Takana that you should do first before you do the Yibum, before the Yavam does the Bia, he should indeed do a Kiddushin, which we call Maimer over there, involving Kesef or Shtar. But here we're talking about, on a Daraisa level, that it's only via, and even there we said that Maimer only, according to most opinions we learned over there, Maimer is not Koine Kinyan Gomer. It doesn't make her fully his wife for all purposes. If they decided they don't want to go through with it in the end, they would still need Chalitza rather than a get. So how do we know that by Yavama, the one way to actually acquire her completely as a wife is by via? So the Gemara says, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Yavama Yava Yalaha, who Yavam should come upon her, he should have relations with her, and he should take her for him as a wife. So we see, in other words, that the Yava Yalaha accomplishes the Ulakoha Loi, that he takes her as a wife. So the Gemara asks, in fact, the Pnei Yeshua teaches out exactly that's what it means. That Yavama Yavay Aleha Ulakocha Loi Leisha doesn't mean they're two separate things. It means by Yavay Aleha is Ulakocha Loi. So they want to ask the Emel Chula Milsa Keisha. Maybe the Pasuk means, after all, it does say Ulakocha Loi Leisha. Maybe, in fact, it means that she's like a regular wife in all respects. Meaning, in other words, Yavay Aleha is one way of accomplishing it. And Kesef and Shtar, Kesef or Shtar would be another way of accomplishing it. Or maybe it could be similar to the way we were talking about before about a regular Isha. Maybe Kesef and Shtar, each of them by themselves, would not be enough. You need Bia as well, or something like that. But how do we know that by her, Kesef and Shtar, at least on a Daraisa level, are completely ineffective? Maybe she's like a regular wife for all other purposes. After all, it says a Lakachol Elisha. So the Gemara says, Loi Sakadai, you can't think that way. Ketanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa. Yochu Yehu Kesef Ushtar Goymrim Ba Kederach Sha Bia Demeres Ba. You would think that Kesef Ushtar complete the acquisition of a Yavama to be a wife like the way that Bia does. That you would think, in other words, that given that Bia accomplishes it completely, in other words, to the extent that, now for sure, the Gemara is taking it as a given, unlike with a regular wife, where we discussed how we know that Bia makes the complete acquisition. By Yavama, it's very obvious, since the Pasuk is saying the purpose is Lahokim La'achiv Shem Yisrael, to reestablish the dead brother's name, so obviously there needs to be Bia, but you would think, says the Braisa, that Kesef and Shtar fully accomplish the same thing as well. When we say fully accomplish, what we mean is, for example, so we learned in Yavamas, for example, that now like this, we have to remember, of course, Yibum is overriding usually there would be an Isur Kores to marry one's brother's wife, but here instead it becomes a mitzvah when it's being done as Yibum. But the Gemara explains over there that what if afterwards they want to split up? So then once full Yibum has been accomplished, then there's no more Chalitza, then it's just a get like any other wife. And furthermore, that he's then allowed to later on remarry her, we don't say that the issue of Eishes Och comes back into force. So that's what we mean over here. You would think that maybe Kesef and Shtar have the same effect, in the sense that now once he gave her Kesef or Shtar, then if they want to split up, then they would give a get rather than chalitza, and that he would then be allowed to remarry her. So how do we know that not? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, V'yibma, the Pasuk says, and he will be miyabim her. The Pasuk says, the whole Pasuk goes, well, the whole part of the Pasuk that's relevant over here says, Ulakocha loy le'isha v'yibma. Yavam will have relations with her. Ulakocha loy le'isha, and he will take her for himself as a wife. V'yibma, and he will be miyabim her. Where being miyabim means to actually have relations, where, as the Pasuk goes on to say, that this way the brother's name will still be perpetuated. So we learn from that. Bia gemeraspa, only bia, which is implied by the word v'yidma, completes the acquisition of her as a wife, meaning Rashi says this is an example of something called shona olav akosav la'akim. Sometimes we have the Torah will repeat something twice to make it clear that it has to be this way and there's no exceptions there. So if it had only said yavei aleha, then you would say, okay, it means yavei aleha, or you have other methods as well. But by repeating, by saying the yibma as well, makes it clear that the only bia will do and nothing else. The ein kesef ushtar, goyim rimba, kesef ushtar do not complete the acquisition. She's still considered to be a shemeres yavam. And if they don't want to go through with it at that point, then a get is not going to be enough. On a daraisa level, at least, you're going to need chalitza. The drabanan, as we learned in Yevamah, sometimes she'll need a get as well because he did mimer and there which is kesef or shtar. But here we're talking strictly on daraisa level. Okay, the Gemara says the ema mai the yibma the baal kocha miyavim. Well, maybe we could learn differently. Maybe we could say that the word v'yibma teaches us that he could be miyavim, even ba'al kurcha, which in fact, in Yevamos, we learned a drosha that says exactly that. Actually, there are Rishonim who have the girsa over here, not v'ema, and Rashi actually has this girsa, for example, not v'ema, but rather ha'imi boile. Don't we need this word to teach us this other din? The reason is because v'ema would be, the Gemara saying, you would think to learn it this way, and in fact, we're going to say that not. But here, that's not so. The fact is, that drosha is broad in Yevamos. It is a valid drosha. So the question is, rather, given that we need the word v'yibma for that drosha, how do we have it available for what we're talking about over here? Anyway, so the fact is, we learned over there, that the yibum can be done by al-kurfa, as long as bia was accomplished, then it doesn't matter whether it was consensual or by al-kurfa. So maybe we need the word yibum, maybe we need the word the yibma for that. And the Gemara answers, im kein lemakur the yibim. In that case, it didn't have to put the hey at the end of it. It could say the yibim, and we would learn from that. My the yibma. Why does it say the yibma with the hay at the end? Shamat mina tauti. Therefore, you can actually learn both things from it, both that it can be accomplished by a korcha, and it does work, and she becomes now a full aishas ish. And to the extent that we're now, again, if they decide they don't want to continue with the marriage, then it would be a get rather than chalitza. But we also learn what we're saying over here, that only yibum, only bia will do to accomplish that, and nothing else, not kesef and shtar. Some Rishonim instead have the girsa that rather we're not learning from the hay of the yibma, but from the vav of the yibma. Anyway. Okay. The Gemara says b'chalitza. Now, we continued in the Mishnah. We said that there are two ways in which the Yevama is koineres atzma, that she reacquires herself, meaning that she's not under the reshus of anybody else anymore. And they were. The first one was chalitza, and the second one is when the yavam dies. So, b'chalitza minolon. So, where do we know that chalitza frees her, and now she's free to remarry whoever she wants? So the pasuk says. So the Gemara answers. D'chtiv v'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanoal. The pasuk says his name will be called in Yisrael the household of the shoe that was taken off. So what we're doing is we're re-parsing the pasuk. The simple meaning of the pasuk is. In other words, Rashi explains, the point is, maybe there's a mitzvah of chalitza on the yavam, if he doesn't want to marry her, but maybe even after chalitza, maybe in fact, she's still not mutter to marry anybody else. So the answer is, the pasuk is saying, v'nikra shmei b'Yisrael beis chalutza no'al. Now the simple meaning of the pasuk is, their name will be called among Yisrael beis chalutza no'al. The simple meaning is something like that the family will be known as the family of chalutza no'al. Or as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, we also learn from this pasuk of din that everybody who is there has to say chalutza no'al. The name will be called among Yisrael. Literally, they'll call out Chalutza Noal. But we're also darshaning over here that we take the word B'Yisrael and put it together with Beis Chalutza Noal. So V'nikra Shmoi, his name will be called, that the Yisrael Beis Chalutza Noal among Yisrael can be the household of the Chalutza Noal. In other words, the woman with whom Chalutza was done is able to marry anybody among the Jewish people. Kivin shecholatzba, meaning that once chalitza has been accomplished, But now, once the shoe has been undone by her, by the Yavama, Kutra l'chol Yisrael, she's mutter to marry any Jew. I mean, the Rabbanan, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen, but that's another matter, whatever. The point is we're taking the word Yisrael and applying it to Beis Chalutz HaNoal and learning from that that she's able to marry anybody else. So it's not just that Chalitza is a mitzvah on the Yavam and she remains also after that. No, once Chalitza has been accomplished, then like the Mishnah says, she's Kohen HaSatma and now she's free to decide to marry anybody else she wants. So the Gemara asks, "V'hai Yisrael lahochi u'da'asa?" You're telling me the word Yisrael is being used to teach us this din? Hai mibayla l'chidatonin of Shmuel by Yehuda. Don't we need it to teach us instead what Rav Shmuel by Yehuda had said? The Yisrael, we learn from that, the beistin shall Yisrael, v'loi the beistin shall ovdik achavim. That the chalitza has to be accomplished in front of a beistin of Jews and not in front of a beistin of goyim. Now, the Hagoris Habach changes this. And then changes the girsa. In fact, in the Gemara in Yavamas, and a number of Rishonim also point out that the correct girsa should not be Ojik Echavim, but rather Geirin. Probably what happened was, very likely, what happened was that in some manuscript it said Geirin, somebody else misread it as Goyim, and then the censor has changed it to Ojik Echavim. So the correct girsa really should be Geirin, because Gob, a based in of Goyim, that you can't do anything in front of them, we learn from other psukim, the Eilam Mishpatim Ashatosim Lefnehim. Rather, the point is that Chalitza has to be accomplished in front of a based in of born Jews and not of Geirin. So even though for most purposes, of course, a Ger is considered a regular Yid, but not for this purpose. For this purpose, it has to be that they're all born Jews. In fact, there's a discussion in the Gemara in Yavamas over there you even have that the members of the Beis Din for Chalitza have to actually be, they have to be Jews from both sides. It can't even be that any of them, his mother was Jewish and his father was not, because even though such a person is a born Jew, nevertheless, since the Pasuk says be Yisrael, then it means that won't work either. Anyway, we're using the word Yisrael for that. So the one answer is Trei Yisrael Ksivi. The fact is, it says twice in the Pesukim Yisrael. You have the Pasuk V'Nikra Shmei Yisrael. A couple of Pesukim earlier, it says L'Hokim L'Achiv Shem Yisrael. So from one of them, you can learn that they can't, that none of the members of the Beis Din can be Gerim, or even that their father is not Jewish. And from the other one, we can learn this that we're saying that now she's mutter to marry anybody else. So the Gemara asks about Kati Miboyla L'Chidatanya. Still, even that second Yisrael, we need to teach us a different point, which we learn in a Braisa, Omer of Yehuda. One time we were sitting as Talmidim in front of Reb Tarfin, or Bossi Yavama Wachloitz, Yavama came to do Chalitza, and they accomplished the Chalitza, and Reb Tarfin told us Talmidim, Anu Kochem V'imru, Chalutzanal, Chalutzanal. All of you should respond after the Chalitza and say the words Chalutzanal. Which, in fact, you have a machlokas over there. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the chachamim over there in Yavamas are saying that only the dayanim have to say it. Rabbi Yehuda is saying everybody who's there should say it. And Rabbi Yehuda is bringing an example where Rabbi Tarfon had all of them say it. So then we're learning the word, and in fact, that's the halacha. So then in that case, we're learning that halacha from the word Yisrael. The Gemara says, no, Hahum v'nikra shmoi nafka. That actually, we're learning from the words v'nikra shmoi, his name will be called. That it means that not just the Dayanim say it, but everybody say it. But the Yisraels themselves, we're learning from them. One of them, we're learning that Gerim can't be served on the Beis Din for that. And the other one is teaching us that she's allowed to marry anybody else after the Chalitza.
Doesn't say somewhere it's a mitzvah for everyone to scream out, whoever's there I think it's a Perek Rambam. It's mitzvah and everyone to scream out to whoever's there.
That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. He's saying that we Talmidim were not members of the Beis Din. The members of the Beis Din were Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim of his generation, Rabbi Yehuda and all of the Talmidim. They're just sitting there and observing. But nevertheless, Rabbi Tarfon told them that all of them should say Chalutzanal. In fact, there's a verse that Hagoris Maimonius brings an interesting idea. Why Taka, the minhag is you actually say Chalutzanal three times, because it represents three different times when a person takes off his shoes because of avelus, because of nidui, and because of, I forget what the third one is, I think actually because of chalitza, whatever the case, we're representing, in other words, that the person should treat himself like an ovel and as a menuda for the fact that he's failing to do the mitzvah of yibum. So therefore, like we call out three times chalutza now, like to imply you deserve to have taken off your shoe three times because you're not accomplishing the mitzvah of yibum. And, you know, to be sure, I mean, nowadays we don't accomplish Yibum for a different reason, because we learned in Yevamos, you have Abba Shoal holds that you can only do it only if you're doing it purely the Shem Shamayim, and otherwise it's Pegeya Be'erva. And because of that, the halacha became established, at least among Ashkenazim, who hold that the halacha is like him, that therefore we don't do Yibum. So it's not totally the guy's fault, but nevertheless, that's part of the symbolism. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, over Misas HaYavam, we said another way that the Yavama goes free is if the Yavam dies. So the Gemara says, Minolon. So where do we know that from? So that you should be mutter after the Yavam dies to marry anybody. So the Gemara says, Kavachoyim. Oma Eishas Ish Shibachedek, Madoch and Eishas Ish, where if she's Mizana, there's a Misas based in, there's Chedek. And yet, Misas Habal Matirata, yet, when we say over here, Misas HaYavam, by the way, we don't mean after the Yavam accomplished Yivam. Then already we said she's a full-fledged wife, and then she's Kona Asatma, the same as any other wife with Get or with Misas Habal. Here we're talking about if the Yavam dies while she's a Shemeres Yavam. So they never accomplished Yivam, they never accomplished Chalitza, assuming there are no other Yavamim. Obviously, if there are other Yavamim, then she still has a Zika for them. But we're talking about, in other words, there were only two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven, her husband, died. Now she's up for Yibum with Shimon. If now Shimon dies before Yibum or Chalitza has been accomplished, then she's mutter to marry anybody. So now the question is, how do we know that? So the Gemara is saying, Kal v'chomer, Uma eishas ish shi v'chene misas habal matirata, madach an eishas ish, where there's a severe iser on her, that if somebody is mezana with her, then they're chayev chene. And yet, Misas Habal Matirata, and yet the husband's death makes her mutter, Yavama, she beloved, like Koshken, how much more so are Yavama, where to begin with? For Shemeres Yavam, the issue of her marrying somebody else is only a lav. So the Gemara says, you can slug up that Kavachomer, Mala Eshesish Shaken Yotza Beget. Why? You can say an Eshesish. Is able to be freed from her marriage with a get. Toma bezusha in the yotze beget. How can you compare to a yavama where a get does not work to free her from being a shemeres yavam? So then the chavachomer falls apart. So what? Hanami yotze b'chalitza. Fine. By a yavama, you have another way other than misas hayavam of her being free to marry whoever she wants, namely chalitza. In other words, chalitza, in other words, Tosfos says, chalitza stands in place of get. So therefore, in other words, you can't really, that's not really a valid way of schlugging up the kavachon. If you found that there was an extra way that an eishes ish is free to remarry, which a yavama is not, then yeah, the kavachon would fall apart. But since there is a way for the eishes ish to be free to remarry, namely a get, and there's a parallel way for a yavama, namely chalitza. So then we have a valid kavachon that the other way of misa works for both of them. So the Gemara says, Ella, no, fine, but you can slug up the Kavachomer in another way. Mala Eishas Ish Shekein Osrach Matira. After all, with an Eishas Ish, the one who made her Osir is the one whose death makes her mutter. In other words, let's consider, how does a woman become Osir to marry anybody else? Because Reuven was Makadish her, so now she becomes Osir to everybody else except Reuven. So therefore, we can say, when Reuven dies, then now she's mutter. On the other hand, with the Yavama, it's not really like that. When she was married to Reuven, Reuven's death is not completely matter her. So he was the one who first assured her to everybody else. When he dies, childless, what happens? She's still usher to everybody else because she's a Shemeres Yavam. And now you're telling me that the death of Shimon, his brother, should be matter her? Why? Shimon's not the one who made her usher in the first place. Reuven is. You can say, in this case also, the one who asses her is the one who's mater her. Yavam Osra, Yavam Sharila. After all, the Yavam is the one who makes her Osir in the sense. Of course, she was to begin with, the whole thing started with Reuven being the Kaddish. Ever since then, she was Osir to everybody. Fine, but when Reuven died, she would have been Mutter to everybody else had Shimon not existed. Only because Shimon exists, therefore she's Osir to anybody else as a Shemeres Yavam. Well, very well then, Yavam Sharila. So then fine, the Yavam is death. Can be matir her, and you can still say the same logic of Shekain Ostra Matira. So it's a different kind of scenario, but still, it still works out. In the case of regular Eishes Ish, Reuven, her husband, was the one who answered her, and when he dies, he's matir her. In the case of Yavama, what you have is a two-stage process. Reuven first answered her to everybody else. Reuven died, and now she still remains also to everybody else because of Shimon. So once Shimon dies, then that residual issue goes away, and now she's mutter to everybody. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we established before that other than Misa, we said that a regular Eishes Ish has one way of being free to marry, namely a get, and a Shemeres Yavam has a different way, namely Chalitza. So why don't we say that each one applies to the other? So to Hey Eishes Ish, Yotze B'Chalitza, Mikavachomer. Why shouldn't we make a Kavachomer to say that an Eishes Ish should be able to be freed to marry other people using Chalitza? Maybe we should say a get is not the only way, Chalitza would also work. Maybe we can make a kavah chomer as follows. Ma yuvama she'ini yotze v'get, yotze v'chalitza. Ma dech a get, a yuvama, who's not free to remarry with a get, but she is free to remarry with chalitza. Zusha yotze v'get. So that an eishes ish who's free to remarry when she receives a get, ain't a din, she yotze v'chalitza, wouldn't it be a kavah chomer that she's free to marry with chalitza? Now, Tosfos says, what kind of a kavah chomer is that? Fakir, we just said that a Yavama is a lesser Isser, it's only an Isser Lav, whereas an Eishes Ish is an Isser Missus based in. So therefore, you could say, fine, a Yavama who has a lesser Isser has an easier way of going out, has an easier way of going out, namely Chalitza. Tosfos says, the fact is, since we're saying that the Chalitza takes away the Isser of a Yavama, we're not going to make a distinction between a more severe Isser and a lesser Isser. And Tosfos brings from the Gemara in Yavamas that says something along those lines. Once we're saying that Chalitza is strong enough to take away an Isser, then we could argue that it should be even strong enough to take away the Isser of Eishes Ish. In fact, we should have a Kalachomer to say that would work. The answer is, Omakra, Sefer Krisus. No, because the answer is, the Pasuk says that when the husband wants to divorce his wife, he gives her Sefer Krisus, a document of cutting off, and we learn from that, Sefer Kursa, Ve'endover Acha Kursa, only the Sefer, only the document will cut her marriage off, and nothing else. So therefore, we learn from that niyot that Chalitza will not work. Now, Mrs. Ayavim will still work. There we don't say Ein Dava Acha Kursa. So earlier in the Masechta, Tosfos Riazokin explains, because there it's not a Maisa. The fact that the husband dies is not a Maisa. It happens. But we're talking about in terms of a Maisa that the husband does, the only Maisa that will free her to marry others is a get and not Chalitza. Next, the Gemara asks, so Tehei Yavama Yotis Beget Mekavachomer. Now let's try to make the Kavachomer the other way around then, and say that a Yavama should be able to be freed to marry others when she receives a get. And again, we should be able to make a Kavachomer. Uma Eishes Ish Sheini Yotis B'Chalitza Yotis Beget. Ma Dachan Eishes Ish, where we just established that Chalitza will not free her to marry others, but a get will work for her. Zush yotze v'chalitza in a din sheyotze v'get. So then, the Yavama, where Chalitza works, then shouldn't it be a kavachomer that a get will work as well? Now, Tosfos says, the fact is, we learned previously in this parak that When the Gemara discussed how we know that Kinyan Shtar works with a regular Eishes Ish, where we said, you have Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, where did we learn that Shtar works? And we said one thing, there was a Svara that if Shtar Motzi, then Shtar Machnis, that if a Shtar is able to end her marriage, then a Shtar is also able to be, which is a get, then a Shtar is also able to begin her marriage. Now, a Yavama, you don't have like that. So Tosfos says the fact is once the Yavam is miyavim her, she's considered an Eishes Ish, and then she is Yotze Beget, even though she didn't originally come in with a shtar. So we see, in other words, it's not necessary for the marriage to have begun with the possibility of a shtar in order for it to be ended with a shtar, because if they actually do Yibum, and now she's fully his wife, then she's Yotze Beshtar. So therefore, so the Gemara doesn't consider that an objection to say that, to argue that, that only by an HSH should a shtar work and not by a Yivam.
And then, like you said mentioned earlier, if he remarries her,
then then for sure he could do it with Kesef Shtar, right? Of course, but here we're talking about the first time, yeah. So in other words, we see a regular Eishes Ish, there was the possibility of marrying her with a Shtar. Therefore, and we say that Shtar is Moitzi. On the other hand, with the Yavama, there was never any possibility in the first place of marrying her with a Shtar, and yet a Shtar will work to divorce her if after the Yibum they want to get divorced. So then by that logic, then we should say that even when she's a Shemetas Yavam, a get should work to free her and not only Chalitza. And the answer is, Amakra Kocha. Because the Pasuk says, Kocha Ya'asal Ish. And we learn from that, the Kocha Ikuva, when it says in the Pasuk, Kocha, this is how it should be, then it means it's an Ikuv, it means it has to be that way and no other way.
Does Kocha went then?
Kocha Yosavish, Ashela Yivnas Beisachim. This is the Yavama says, right. So which Tosfos points out, again, similar to Tosfos via Zakin earlier, that it's one thing when the Yavam dies, again, we're only being Mamayat something Kocha Yosa Laish. So only something that involves a Maisa, Bidei Adam, then we're saying this is the only one. When it's Bidei Shamayim, when the Yavam dies, then that's different. But anyway, the point is that, so we're Mamayat that only one kind of Maisa will work to free the Yavama, and that, before the Shemetas Yavam, that is, and that is Chalitza and not Get. So the Gemara asks, so what are you telling me, in effect? The Gemara is saying, we would have had a Kavachomer, but we're saying the word Kocha overrides it and tells us, don't douse in that Kavachomer. We would have thought a Kavachomer, we would have made a perfectly good Kavachomer to say that for a Yavama, a get as well as Chalitza should work. But we're saying, because the Pasuk says Kocha, then we're saying not. The question with that is, so you're telling me any place where the Torah is saying kocha or some other lashon that says that it's an ikuv, that it has to be this way, then we can't darshin a kavachomer. Consider the case of the avoda of Yom Kippur, where we have the girdle on the shnei asirim, dichtiv girdle v'chukra. So the pasuk says you have to have a girdle, and the pasuk says at the end you have the girdle on the shnei asirim. At the end of the parasha, it says over there v'hosav achem l'chukas olam, which, and whenever it says chukka is similar to kocha in the sense that it means it has to be this way and no other. So from that we learn that if any of the details of the avoda are done differently or out of order or whatever, then you're not yotze. And yet, v'tanya, what we learn in a braisa, now the pasuk says that you do the goro on the two seirim and one of them becomes the sor l'Hashem. So we learn in a braisa, v'asavu chatas, when it says that he should make the girdle and then he makes it the sor l'Hashem chatas, meaning a girdle oisa chatas ve'en Hashem oisa chatas. Only the girdle will accomplish that to make it that this one will be a chatas, not just calling it like that verbally. In other words, what if the Kohen were to say, I don't want to bother making a girdle, I'll decide on my own. This one should be l'Hashem, this one should be l'Azazel. That one won't work. He has to make the girdle. Rashi, in fact, even says that if he were to call them names, then he still has to do the girdle. And if it comes out the opposite of what he called them, then still that the girdle is what's Kaveya, not the names. And the reason why we need to be told that, continues the Braisa, because otherwise you would think to make a Kavachomer. Madach in cases where a girdle does not determine which one is going to be which. And yet calling them that verbally does. Namely, Rashi says, you have, the Gemara in Yuma tells us that you have, for example, you have various cases where a person has to bring a chatas and an ola. For example, we talked about yesterday about an isha yeledes, a woman who gave birth, where she has to bring two, she has to bring a chatas and an oila, and for a poor woman, it would be both of them are birds. For a rich woman, one's a sheep and the other one's a bird, but for a poor woman, both of them are birds. So what happens? What if she were to make a girdle over them, and what if the kohen were to make a girdle on them and decide this one is going to be a chatas, which one an oila? That doesn't work. The only time, the Gemara tells us, the two times when it can be established which one is which is either when the person first buys them, they can buy them and at the time they decide, I want this one to be the chatas and this one the oila, or when you give them to the kohen and the kohen decides on the spot there in the bis mikdash, this one's going to be the chatas, this one the oila. But any time in between, not. You make a girdle, doesn't matter. The girdle has no effect. So we see that the girdle doesn't do anything, only saying verbally, this one is the chatas, this one is the ola. So mokum shekiddush girdle. So in the case of the shnei seirim, where the girdle does work, ein edin shekiddush hashem, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that calling them verbally should work as well without a girdle? So therefore, Talmud Lomav, also chatas, a girdle, osa chatas, ve'en hashem osa chatas. That is why the pasuk has to say the words, va'aso chatas. Now, continues the Gemara, the time of the mate kura. So what are we saying? Only because the pasuk gives us a special miut with the words va'asohu chatas, do we say that therefore it has to be the girdle and nothing else. So what do we see other than that? Even though it says chukas oilam at the end, which means that all the details are necessary, nevertheless, we would have learned this kavachomer, and we would have said that the kriyas hashem without girdle works, even though it says chukah. So we see, just because it says in a pasuk, a mute, that it has to be this way, doesn't mean we can't learn a kal v'chomer to add something else, only if the pasuk is specifically memaikit. Well then, in the case of the Yavama over here, yes, it says kocha, so what? We can still make a kal v'chomer, and the kocha would, and we would say the kocha means the other details over there. It would mean that to you we can add another detail, that not only chalitza would work, also a get. So the Gemara answers, Omakra loh. No, but the answer is something else. When it comes to a get, the pasuk says, V'chosab loh sefer krisus, means loh, means only for her, v'lo the yavama, so it's a miut, not for a yavama. But the Gemara says, the aim of lishma. Why say that the word loh means that it means that it has to be lishma, that the get has to be written lishma, as we learned in Gittin? And the answer is fine. Trei loh ksivi, fine, but it says twice in the psukim over there loh. Because you have by the first husband, it says that with the false of loh sefer krisus, then it describes she remarries and she remarries, and then her second husband, Usneya Isha Akron, and he writes for her a sefer krisus. So again, it uses the word loh. So therefore, we have two laws. So from one of them, we can learn the Shema, and from the other one, we can learn to be Mimayat to Yuvam.
Each person is speaking about a different, you can't...
Doesn't matter, each one's a different husband, but the fact is, each one, the Torah is saying, and he writes of a Sefer Krisus.
Yeah, but if you wouldn't write, then you wouldn't know...
No, because the second one, could have said, because of Sefer Krisus. Who else is he writing the Sefer Krisus for? It's not his wife, man. So the Gemara says that Vakati Miboile Chad Law Lishma V'idach Loh V'loh V'loh Chavata. Still, we need both laws to learn, as we learned from Gittin, one of them that the get has to be lishma, and the other one is it can't be for her and for her friend, meaning the same name, meaning in other words for example, you can't have, so Rashi gives an example, let's say you can't write that Ploini, that Reuven is Megarish Rochel and Leah, his wives. Not the same name, but in other words, two different wives can't. Or even if they do have the same names, it doesn't really matter. If you can't, we learned in Gittin, for example, Reuven can't write the get saying, I'm writing it with the name Rachel, and whichever of my wives Rachel I decide to use it for afterwards, it'll work. Doesn't work that way. It has to be written purely l'shma. So we need both laws for that. So the Gemara says, you're right. So instead, we can't learn from the word law. Instead, we have to learn that a yavama cannot be patterned by a get. We need to learn from a different pasuk. Omakra na'al. The pasuk says na'al, that you have to use a shoe. Meaning, now, this is at the end over there when it says, v'nikra shmei b'yisrael beis chalutz ha'no'al. It didn't have to say chalutz ha'no'al. Could have said beis ha'cholutz. So therefore, the word na'al over there is extra, meaning na'al ein midiach min aloi. Only the shoe, only chalitza with the shoe will free her to marry somebody else, but not midiach min aloi, but not anything else. So the Gemara asks again, "V'hai now l'hochi u'da'asa?" You're telling me the word "now" comes to teach us that kind of thing. Hai mibayla l'chidatanya. We learn that we use the word "now" for a different drasha that we learn in the pasuk na'aloi when it says that she takes off his shoe. Aimly ela na'aloi. You would know from that only that it means if it's actually his own shoe. Na'al shakol adam acha minolei. How would we know that it works even if the shoe belongs to somebody else? And the answer is Talmud Lomim, na'al na'al riba. And again, the answer is because it says na'al twice in the psukim, so therefore we have a ribui. So now it does mention in Shulchan Aruch, l'hatchila, you should give the shoe, the basin should give the shoe to the yavam, but nevertheless, b'di'evit, if they didn't do that, the chalitza is still kosher. Be mezakeh him in the shoe, and then chalitza will be accomplished.
We learned from the past. Right. It sounds like this belongs to Bezdin because it's certain.
It does belong to Bezdin. It's a special kind of shoe, etc. But nevertheless, it says in Shulchan Aruch that they should give it to him as a matzah. Anyway, the point is that so because it says na'al twice, so we learn it doesn't necessarily have to be his. It can be anybody else's. So in kein matamad leman na'aloi, in that case, then why does the Torah in the first place say na'aloi? It let it just say na'al. And the answer is na'aloi haro'i loi. We learn from that the shoe has to be suitable for him. Therefore, prat le gadol shein yochel lahalachloi, so it excludes if the shoe is too large for his size, where he can't walk with it, because he tries to walk with it and it'll fall off. Prat le katan shein choifes loiv vagloi, it also comes to exclude a shoe that's too small, where it won't cover most of his foot, so that also doesn't work. Prat le mesulim, and furthermore, it also comes to exclude a shoe that is missing its bottom, she'en loy okev, where in particular it doesn't have a heel. So Rashi explains the heel doesn't necessarily mean only the heel; it means the entire sole of the shoe. So if the shoe is missing its sole, then it doesn't work for chalitza, and we learn all that from the word na'aloi. So from the word na'aloi, we learn the shoe has to fit him and has to cover most of his foot. From the second na'al, we learn the shoe doesn't necessarily have to be his. So l'chatchila, it should be his, and that's why we do it. But nevertheless, so the point is, so we're using the word na'al for that. So how can we use the word na'al to learn that only chalitza will free the yavama and nothing else? And the answer is, in ken nichdav kron na'al. Fine, but in that case, when it says now the second time, base chalutz ha'no'al, it could have said base chalutz no'al. My ha'na'al, instead, why does it say with the hey? Shamim v'natauti, therefore you can learn both things from it, that you can use somebody else's shoe, b'di'evet, and also that only chalitza works to free her and nothing else.
Take a hey.
So from a hey, yeah, yeah.
All the movement before wasn't good, and take the hey, which is... We're speaking mm-hmm. about a shoe, and that's for mm-hmm. that's.
We have many dinim that we learn from one letter. You have a famous expression that the Medrash says that you look at, for example, Eliezer Eved Abraham. You have the whole when he repeats the whole story of how he met up with Rivka. It takes up an extra couple of columns in a Sefer Torah, and here you have major halachas. The Medrash gives an example over there. Not this. It gives an example involving a din of shrotzim, but whatever. Major halachas that we learn from one letter in the Torah. Yeah. So yeah. Okay.
Even though it's not speaking about here, it's speaking about now.
It's speaking of the na'al that's used for chalitza. And we know from that, ha-na'al, only the shoe will work for chalitza, nothing else. Many times, by the way, you'll find, in particular, the Malbim does this a lot. He has, at the beginning of his Pirush on Vayikra, in particular, he has hundreds of rules explaining why the Chachamim will find it fit to daushin in a certain place, to daushin a certain extra letter, and in other places not, and why in certain places they'll daushin extra double wording, and in some places not, and then throughout his Pirush he'll do that. He'll explain in each place, and then throughout the Chumashim, whenever it talks about a mitzvah, and we learn details of a mitzvah like this from Sukkim, then he'll explain his Pirush on those Chumashim, is basically a Pirush on the Sifra, and the Sifri, and whatever, and he'll explain what motivated the Chachamim to realize that this word has to be daushed in this way, rather than just to say that's the style of the pasuk. Yeah. Okay. So now the Mishnah is going to continue. Now we're going to digress from here until the end of the parak. We're going to basically digress from the topic of kiddushin and talk about other topics. Namely, we learned in the first Mishnah, we said ha'isha niknis v'shalash drachim v'koneas atzma and yivama similarly. So now we're going to talk about other things, other kinds of cases of kinyan, how they're accomplished. So the same way as we said an Eishas Ish, the Kinyan can be accomplished in one of three ways, in the Yavama, in only one way, and so forth. So now we're going to mention, for example, an Eved Ivri. What are the ways of being Kohen him? and Omer Hevriya, what are the ways of being Koinahur, and so forth. And then we're going to continue with similar things for the first half of the Perek and deal with various things, how you're Koina them and how they're Koina themselves. So the Mishnah says, Eved Ivri nikna b'kesef or shtar, an Eved Ivri can be acquired by paying money or by writing a shtar. The Koina Atma, the Shonim, he reacquires himself, meaning he's free to go with years, namely when 6 years are up, Sheish Shonim Yavar Vashriyas Yetze, over Yovel, also if Yovel comes, even during the 6 years, right, over Girin Kesef, and also by deducting from the money. Namely, you have that, and here you have the Torah describes in some detail in Parshas Bahar that, so let's say, Rashi gives the example. Now, let's say to begin with, he was sold for 6 years at the value of 6 mana, so it's 1 mana per year. If now, let's say he worked for 2 years, so then therefore, he only pays 4 mana for his freedom because 2 years he already worked off. That's an evidence. Yisera all of Omer Hevriya, then an Omer Hevriya has an additional way of going free, besides for an Eved Ivri, Shekoinas Atma B'Simonim, that she also acquires herself when she develops Simonim, when she develops Shtei Sides.
Or if she wants to marry her.
That's something else. So if he wants to marry her, that's called Yud. Yes, we're going to be talking about that. But then it's not really so much she's going free, then it's like she's going from one kind of Kinyan to the other. Before she was an Omer Hevriya, now she becomes his wife. He's still Koina her in a different sense. But to go completely free, namely that she has nobody's reshus over her, would be only any of the ways that we said, plus Simon. Next, Hanirza, what about the Eved whose ear is pierced? Well, you know, he says, Ahavdias, Adonias, Ishti, etc. So he doesn't go free after 6 years. Nikneb Ritzia, with the Ritzia, with piercing his ear, he becomes acquired to his master for the rest of the time. But Konas Atma, the Yovel of Mrs. Adon, he reacquires himself with Yovel. Yovel goes free no matter what. And also, if the master dies, namely, in other words, Rashi says, the difference is, an Eved who was sold to begin with for 6 years, for the regular 6 year term, if the master dies during the 6 years, he doesn't go free, he just continues serving the Yoshin. On the other hand, with the Nirtza, we say that not, he goes free immediately when the Odin dies, and he doesn't serve the Yoshin. We're going to learn all of this, we're going to learn in the Gemara from Sophie.
A goy
is something else. You have to realize, by the way, that you have a few different possible cases of how a person is sold. Eved Ivri can be sold because he's stolen and doesn't have enough money to pay back. That's called Mochru Beistin. Then you have, he could sell himself, which is called Mochar Atzmai. Within that itself, you have the Pesukim in Parshas Bahar described, he could sell himself to a Yid or to a goy. And then you have Omer Hevriya, where the only way of an Omer Hevriya is that her father sells him. Yeah. She can't sell herself.
No, parents,
doesn't work that way. No. Okay. So the Gemara says, Eved Ivri nikna b'kesef minolon. How do we know that an Eved Ivri can be acquired with money? So the Gemara says, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, mikesef miknosai. The Pasuk says that they were talking about the case where we're going to deduct from the money and he goes free. It says we deduct mikesef miknasai from the money with which he was purchased. Malamach and nikna mikesef. From there we learn that he's acquired with money. But the Gemara says, Ashbechon Eved Ivri Animkol Oved Gechavim. Fine. So that shows that works by an Eved Ivri who was sold to a Goy, because that context, that Pasuk, mikesef miknasai, is talking about that case. A Yid sold himself to a Goy, and now the Pasuk says, that his relatives in particular have a mitzvah to buy him back as soon as possible so he doesn't assimilate among the goyim. And the pasuk says, so then you deduct the kesef miknasei and you figure out how many years have passed until Yovel, when he's working for a goy, by the way, it's not going to be only 6 years, it's going to be till Yovel. So you figure out how many years it is till Yovel and you make the adjustment. That's the set rule. If he's working for a goy, then there's no 6 years instead of till Yovel, yeah. This is true, right? By the way, the Gemara mentions in Baba Kama, Rashi brings it on the Pasuk, necessarily we're talking about over here a goy that kovush tachas yodcha. he's living under Jewish rule, and he knows he has to follow Jewish law in that regard. Otherwise, if not, what's going to force him to flee the guy by Yoichel? But and the pasuk makes a point that you have to make the calculation with him honestly as far as the amount of time. The Gemara says, "Lo yisavei ala ba'akifin." You can't say, "Well, look, we're in charge. We Jews are in charge, so you got to listen to us, whatever we say. And if we tell you an amount, even though you don't think it's fair, then tough luck, because you're not allowed to cheat a goy either." From there we learn, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to cheat or steal or whatever from a guy. Anyway, the point is, so...
One word, Democrat.
Yeah, whatever. We don't do politics over here, but that's fine. Yeah, anyway. So the Gemara says, Ashbechan Eved Ivri and Nimgol Eved Kachavim. Fine, so that takes care of the case when a Yid is sold as an Eved Ivri to a guy, where there we say, so then, after all, a guy to begin with acquires things with kesef, because what you have is like this. Now, you have, between, when it comes to metalkalin, let's say, when a yid sells metalkalin to another yid, we know kesef doesn't really accomplish the kinyan. We're going to talk about later in this parak. Meshicha, or something similar to that, accomplishes the kinyan. Meshicha can be by an animal. By an animal, you have also something called mesira, where you hand over the reins of the animal, whatever. But yeah, meshicha is the basic way of being koine any metalkalin. But by a goy, it's not so. By a goy, he acquires things, and you acquire things from him with kesef. So by a goy, given that his kinyan involves kesef, then therefore it's logical that also an eved ivri he can acquire with kesef. But how do we know the same thing would be true as far as an eved ivri who's sold to a Jew, where to begin with kinyan kesef doesn't work by metalkalin with a yid? So the answer is rather omakra v'hefta. Rather, we learn from the Omer HaYevriya, where the Pasuk says that he will make her be free. And we learn from that. The word vehefta is an active verb. In other words, not the niftisa or something like that, which would be passive, but rather vehefta, which means that the master has to assist in making her go free. And how does he assist? By saying, we'll deduct from the amount that I paid for her to begin with, the amount she's worked so far. From there we learn that we deduct from the amount that she has to be paid for her, and we do like that. Which an interesting point about that. Now you would think, how is that him helping? I mean, that's just fair. He paid for a certain number of years of work, and now we deduct the amount that he paid so far. Das Skenim on the Pesukim over there points out an interesting point. What if now her value has gone up? Over the years, after all, she was sold as a little girl. Over the years, her value goes up. She's learned more things to do. She has more talents and skills now. Nevertheless, we still go according to the original purchase price. That's the Megaras, that he assists Megaras Pidyon of Yotza. He doesn't say, well, yes, originally I bought her for 6 mana, for 6 years, but by now that she's worth so much more, if she had had those skills then, I would have paid 12 mana for her, so now, therefore, you have to give me more. We don't say that.
Never mind. We learned about it. He spoke out there most.
Yeah. Anyway. So, very good. Okay. So we learn from that, from the Garas Pidyon of Yotza. Well, again, obviously she had to be acquired with money in order for that whole system to work. So therefore we see that Kinyan Kesef works. Umar says, okay, Ashkechon Omo Hevriya. So fine, we see that that works by an Omo Hevriya. Hola Mikadshe Bekesef, Mikniya Bekesef. After all, she's a woman. She could be Makudish with money. Forget about yield for a moment, just regular kiddushin of a woman is done with money, as we've been learning. So therefore, you could say that also to acquire her as a shifcha, as an omer hevriya, can also work with money. Eved ivri minolon, but how do we know the same is true of an eved ivri? And the answer is, omakra ki yimocha lacha achicha ha-ivri, oi ha-ivriya. The pasuk says, if you're brother, an ivri or an ivriya is sold to you, and they work for you for 6 years, so makish ivri le-ivriya, so you have a hekish between the ivri and the ivriya, and therefore, if by the ivriya it works to acquire her with money, and we said we learned that from the word behemka, then by an eved ivri, that also has to work. So the Gemara says, Ashbuchan machruv beistin, fine, so that takes care of the case where beistin sold him, where after all, if he's sold by Beis Din because he's stolen, can't afford to pay it back, then we know because after all, Beis Din can sell him against his will. And how do we know the same is also true if he sells himself, where there he's doing it voluntarily? How do we know?
Money, right?
How do we know that money works? And the answer is Yalef Sochir Sochir. We make a Zera Shava on the word Sochir. Namely, by the Murcher Atzma, the expression is, the Pasuk says, when he sells himself, in Parashat Bahar, he's poor and he sells himself, it says, Kisochir Kisoshav Yia Imach, he should be with you for these few years like a hired worker. Then in Parashat A, when it talks about Machru Beistin, Ki Yimachalacha Chicha Ivri Oya Ivriya, it says at the end of there, Ki Mishnah Schar Sochir, he's worked for you twice as much as a regular hired worker. So you have the word Sochir in both those places. We have a Gzera Shava from that the dinim of them are similar in that, that both of them are accomplished with Kesef.
Because he's working night and day. So
one point is because he's working night and day, because it actually mentions on the pasuk over there that his master can give him a shifa knanis to have children with her. So in that sense, he's doing work by night as well. And there's also the already shown him who learned that it means that a regular sochir would work for a maximum of 3 years. And here the guys where you have a pasuk in Yeshaya, for example, that mentions sholish shonim kishnei sochir, implying that normal time you hire a worker is maximum 3 years, where he was working for 6 years. Whatever, the point is, it uses the word sacher, so therefore we have the Gzera Shava that it applies to both of them. So the Gemara says, Hanichal amandi yalef sacher sacher. Fine, that would work out according to the opinion that says that we do darshan that Gzera Shava of sacher sacher, and we say therefore that the dinim of Moichar Atma and Machruah Beis Din are very similar. But according to the opinion that doesn't learn that Gzeira Shava, and we know the Chachamim had the Kabbalah. You can't learn a Gzeira Shava on your own. You have to have the Kabbalah from your Rebbeim. So some of the Chachamim had this Gzeira Shava and some didn't. And we're going to explain in a couple of lines what the relevance of that is. What are they not learning, therefore, because of that? What equations are they not making because of that? So then, my Ikalamema, so according to them, how do we know, again, that I'm... So far, we've established, again, among the four kinds of among the four cases of sales that we said, we've covered the one where he sold himself to a guy. We've covered the Omer Ivriya. We've covered the Eved Ivri who was sold by Beis Din, but we still haven't covered the Eved Ivri who sells himself to a Yid. How do we know that that can be accomplished with Kesef? So again, we said for that you need Sacher Sacher, but if you're not doing that in Zeder Shava, then how do you know it? My opinion.
Cash to a husband.
No, so what we said is by an Omer Hevriya, we said by an Omer Hevriya, it's logical to say that we can learn by her it'll work because so we went like this. By an Omer Hevriya, we learn from Vehefta. Now we said logically then maybe it should only apply to her because kiddushin of her can be accomplished with money. How do we know Bechla by an Eved Ivri? So we said because we have a hekesh between her Ivri or her Ivriya. The problem is that hekesh refers to one who was sold by Beis. It does not refer to refer to somebody who sold himself. So if we say Sacher Sacher, then fine, that covers him as well. But if we don't hold that Zera Shava, then what? So the Gemara answer is Amakra v'chisasim. The pasuk describes by the case of an Eved Ivri who sells himself to a guy. It says, and if a guy can afford it, if he becomes rich and is able to buy it, Yid is an Eved. So the Vav ties it together with the previous part, which is talking about where he sold himself to a Yid. In Parshas Bahar, you have like this. We're going to learn in a few blocks. We're going to learn that the Parshas Bahar is basically a progression of what happens to a person who's not careful with the dinim of Shemitah. So you have the dinim of Shemitah and Yovel. Then you have who's not careful with it. Then he has a downward spiral. First, he has to sell his metalplin. Then he has to sell his house and so on and so forth. Eventually, he gets to the point of selling himself as an Eved Ivri. And then not only it can be so bad that he can't even find a Yid to buy him. He has to find a Goy. He has to sell himself to a Goy. Now, the part where he sells himself to a goy begins with a vav, v'chisasim. So therefore, that ties it with the previous part about where he sold himself to a yid. So therefore, in other words, we have a hekesh between those two. Vav musaf al inyan, so musaf al inyan rishon. So it means that it's adding to what came before, v'yilamed elyon mitachton, and therefore the earlier part can be learned from the later part, since in the later part, when he sells himself to a guy, we're saying that he sold mikesef miknasai, and therefore that we deduct from that amount for him to be freed from the guy, so we learn that when he sold himself to a yid, then the same thing applies, he could be acquired with kesef. Okay. The Gemara says, "Man Tana de la Yalef Sacher Sacher." Which Tana is this that doesn't hold of the Zera Shava of Sacher Sacher and therefore we said according to them you need to learn this din from the Vav. So the Gemara answer is high Tana. It's the Tana of the following Braisa. The Tana Kama, that is, of the following Braisa. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hamoicher Atma Nimka L'Shesh V'Yoser Al-Shesh. When a person sells himself as an Eved, he could sell himself for 6 years, but he could also sell himself for more than that. They could make a Tanai that he's going to be sold for more than 6 years. There's discussion over here. Does that mean the Ritva talks about that? Do we mean specifically that they made a tnai to that effect, or are we saying that the chlab by Mercha Atzma, the whole concept of 6 years doesn't apply? So in other words, if they didn't say anything at the time, is it open ended until Yovel, or is it that we'd still say the default was 6 years unless they actually specify more than that? Whatever the case, the point is by Mercha Atzma, you're able to do it for more than six, machru beistin, ain nimka el l'sheish. On the other hand, if he's sold by beistin, then he's only sold for a term of 6 years. Another difference, hamoicher atzma ain nirtza. If he sold himself, then his ear is not pierced. If he wants to stay on beyond the 6 years, we don't pierce his ear. Again, the fact that we say that to begin with, no, it wasn't necessary to state anything, then anyway, he can continue working till Yovel. Machru beistin nirtza. But if he was sold by beistin, he doesn't want to go after the 6 years, then you pierce his ear. Another difference. Now, the point of all this is, in other words, the Gemara is going to assume that why do we have all these differences? Because the Tanakama that we're saying so far in the Braisa does not hold of the Zeta Shava of Sachar Sachar. So he holds the dinim that apply by one kind of Eved Ivri don't necessarily apply to the other kind. Next. Moicher Atma in Man Nikimoy. Then he said, then the Tanakama continues, the one who sold himself, at the end he does not get Hanukkah. So we know the Torah tells us in Parashas Re'e that when the Eved Ivri is leaving, you have to give him gifts, and we're going to learn later on in Dr. Zion the detail of what you have to give him. So by Moicher Atma, you don't have to give that to him. Machru Beistin Man Nikimoy, but when Beistin sold him, where that Parashah is talking about, where he was sold, Ki Yimochu Lacha, that he was sold by others, then Man Nikimoy, then you give him Hanukkah. Another difference, if he sold himself, then his master can't give him a shifcha knanis to live with her and have children with her. But if Beistin sold him, then they could. Because again, this concept about the shifcha knanis is said only in connection with Moshe Beistin, with Machru Beistin, namely, the one in Parashas Mishpatim, where Kisikne Eved Ivri, Sheshanim Yavod, etc., and all those dinim, and later on in the parasha it explains that that's talking about Benimka Bignei Vosle when he sold because he stole and he couldn't afford to pay back. So we have all those differences. On the other hand, Rabbi Lozer Omer, on the side it says maybe Rabbi Yezer. Anyway, Zev Zeinu Nimka El Lashesh. No, they are absolutely the same. Neither one can be sold for more than 6 years. Zev Zeinu Nimka. Either one of them gets his ear pierced if he doesn't want to leave after 6 years. Both of them get Hanukkah. And both of them, the master can give him a Shifcha Knanis. So they're absolutely the same. Now, my law of Hakamithavi, doesn't that mean that that is the Machlokes? The Tanakama lo Yalif Sachar Sachar, but Rabbi Lozer Yalif Sachar Sachar. Evidently, the Tanakama does not hold of this Zeta Shava. Therefore, he says, whichever dinim it says by one are only for that one and not for the other. And Rabbi Lozer doesn't hold of that. He holds of the Zeta Shava, and therefore he says, whatever applies to one applies to the other. So in that case, then, like we said before, if you don't learn that Zeta Shava, Sacher Sacher, then you need another way of learning that an Eved Ivri is Nikna Mekesset.
Yeah, but you learn from the first, then you can say something's a parable, something's not.
Right. But, the Gemara answer is no. Omer Rav Tavyumi Mishmei Da Abaya. No, Rav Tavyumi says the name of Abaya, it's not so. Dekula Alma Yalif Sacher Sacher. In fact, both Tanakama and Rav Elazar do hold of the Gzeda Shava Sacher Sacher. V'hoch b'hai kro kamitli. Rather, the argument is not whether we learn the Gzeda Shava. The argument is within the Psukim to understand the Psukim themselves. So like this, my time at the Tanakama, the Omer Moshe Atman Nikola Sheish V'Yosel Sheish, why does the Tanakama hold that if he sells himself, he could sell himself for more than 6 years? What happens to the Gzeda Shava? Because he says, it's true you have the Gzeda Shava, But me it's Rachmona, Gam Machru Basin, Ba'avor Chashe Shonim. On the other hand, by Machru Basin, the Torah makes an exception and says specifically, Ba'avor Chashe Shonim, her work for you for 6 years, implying Zevlai Moichar Atzmai, implying only in this case, not in the case of Moichar Atzmai. So the Tanakhama, in other words, will say, yes, there's Zeta Shava, very nice. We'll use that to learn some commonalities between them, but not this particular one, because you have a miyot otherwise. The Idach, whereas Rabbi Lozer is going to answer to that, va'avodcha, he's going to say that, no, the word va'avodcha doesn't come to be mamayat that, it comes to be mamayat something else. L'cha v'lo l'yosh, only he works for you, but not for the yosh. Namely, if the master dies, and he doesn't have any children, then the eved goes free. Now, we're going to learn later on, we said before, he does work for the son, but not for other yoshim. If the guy dies and has daughters, or brothers, or whatever, who inherit from him, then the eved, if he doesn't work for them. So we learn that from the word va'avod. The idach, what is the Tanakhama answer to that? He says avod chachrinim. So he says avod chachrinim. See, the fact is it says avod chach twice. It says va'avod chashesh shonim, and a few psukim later it says ki mishnas chayav sofer avod chach. So therefore you can learn both. One, you can learn that it means that only machru based in works for 6 years, and the other one we can learn that the yodish doesn't take over.
What was
that? Yeah, two psukim. Both of them are in Parshas Re. And then a few psukim later, ki mishnes chasacher avod chashesh shanim. So therefore, he worked for you double the amount like a hired worker. Because again, he works by night as well as by day, and so he worked for 6 years instead of three. So that says the word avod. So therefore, so you have two. The idach. What does Rabbi Lozer answer to that? He says hahu lahatzas adar no deosa. That pasuk is not coming to teach us another din. That pasuk is just coming to make the Odin feel better. The Torah is telling us you have to give hanokha, you have to give a significant amount of supporting gifts to the Eved, and the pasuk is saying you're likely to feel bad. Why should I have to spend so much money on the guy? So the pasuk is telling you, don't worry, the fact is that the Mishnah Scharasach or Avodah. We're not necessarily meant to learn an extra din from that pasuk. It's just making the Odin feel better that he should not regret why he's having to give so much hanokha. Well, it makes him feel better, because he's saying, Kimishna Skarasokha, look, the guy worked for you twice as much as a hired worker, and Uvedacha, Hashem Lakecha, Bechalasha Tasa, and Hashem has blessed you, so therefore share the wealth with him.
Getting this blessing from Hashem
because you're being manic, because you're doing Hanukkah. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk over there, the same way, Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim, and I gave you twice over Hanukkah, once when you left Mitzrayim, and another one a week later by Kriyas Yamsuf. So the same way, you can give generously to your evidence. Anyway, the point is, so again, the Tanakhama is saying that you have two avodchas. So from one of them, you learn that he works only for the master himself, but not for other yoshim other than a son. And from the other one, we learn that that only a machruh based in, only machruh based in can be sold for more than 6 years, but not moichar atzmai can be sold for up to 6 years and no more, but a moichar atzmai can sell himself for longer than that. Rabbi Lozer holds that one avodcha teaches us the din about not working for the other yoshim, and the other avodcha, we don't learn anything from that. It's just meant to make the odin feel better. But both of them agree that there's gzeira shava, socher socher, and if it weren't for the miut, then we would in fact say that both of them are equal. Similarly, the Gemara continues. The same thing the second din. My time at the Tanakhama, the Amal Moshe Atma in a Nirza. Why does the Tanakhama say that if a person sells himself as an Eved Ivri, then he doesn't get his ear pierced? Same idea. There is a Gzeira Shava that says that Moshe Atma and Machru Beisdin are the same, but Midmiyat Rachmana Gavi Machru Beisdin. But since the Torah tells us a miut in connection with Machru Beisdin, it says, Verotza Adonimus Oz Noi by Marzea. It says his master should pierce his ear with a Marzea, with an oar. Now, what do you mean, his ear? Who else's? Osner Shaloi, like Osner Shal Moichar Atzmai. So the Tanakhama says that word Osner is meant to teach only his ear of somebody who was sold by Beis Din, which is what that section, Mishpatim, is talking about, but not the Moichar Atzmai. Tosfos actually points out, now, according to the Tanakhama over here, again, his master can't give him a Shifcha Knanis, and the whole idea, what is he being Nirtza for in the first place? He says, Ahavdias Adonias Ishti Ves Bonai, I don't want to leave my Shifcha Knanis and her children, so if he can't have a Shifcha Knanis, then there's no room for piercing his ear anyway, why do we even need the mute? And Tosfos says, fine, if not for that, we still would have thought to learn because of Gzeira Shava of Socher Socher, we would think that still there could be other reasons he wants to stay. Maybe not Ishti Esbonai, other reasons and Nirtza. And nevertheless, the Tanakhama is saying, no matter what reason it is that he wants to stay, nevertheless, you don't.
So if he came into as Mechubezin and didn't have a wife, he's not allowed to have a Shulchan Knanis, right?
Either way, if he has no wife, he can't have a Shulchan Knanis. We're going to talk about that in later dives. Right, so we're talking about if, to begin with, he came in as a married man, then he's allowed to have a Shulchan Knanis, right. But the Tanakhama is saying only if Machru based Moichu Atma, the Tanakhama is saying, can never have a Shulchan Knanis, whether he's married to a Jewish wife or not. Rav Elazar is saying there's no difference. So again, the Tanakhama is saying, but here we're talking about Ritzia, which is something else. The Tosfos is pointing out that the Ritzia is a result of having the Shulchan Knanis, but nevertheless, there could conceivably be other things that he's saying are have.
That's why there's not enough, because he's not working at night also, maybe.
Maybe.
Could be.
Okay, could be. Anyway, so therefore, so the word Oznoi comes to exclude Moichu Atma. The Idach, what does Rav Elazar answer to that? He says, the word Ozna, we need for Xeda Shovel. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rav Elazar, how do we know that the Ritzia takes place with the right ear? The reason is, Nemakan Ozen, the Nemalahalan Ozen, because you have here, you have the word oizen, where Ratz Adonai was oznoi, by a mitzora, where the blood and the oil of his korban are being placed on his ear, thumb, and toe. So there it says that, it also says oizen, and it says that you put it on his right ear. There it actually says explicitly, oznoi hayamonis. Rashi points out, specifically we're talking about a mitzora oni, because you have like this. First the Torah talks about a mitzora oshir, where he brings three animals for korbanos, together with nesachim, and so forth. Then it goes on to describe, what if he's poor, where instead of two of the animals, he brings birds. Now other than that, the details between them are exactly the same, so the Torah didn't need to repeat it, and yet it repeats all the details. Therefore we learn from that, that it has to be this way and no other. It's like shana olu akosav la'atim, like we said before. So since it says over there, oznoi hayamonis, so therefore, so we have that word is available for Xeda Shava. Here also, by Oznoi, also the word is extra. Because you have a different passage that also says Ba'oznoi. So you actually have, so Xeda Shava, that is Mufnim Shneitz Dodin, that's available, the word is available for a Jerusha from both sides in such a Xeda Shava. You can't slog up. So Malahal Yamin, just like when Mitzoda is the right ear, because it says so explicitly, Afkan Yamin, the same way here, it has to adapt to be the right ear. So therefore, Rav Elazar says, you need the word Oznoi for that Xeda Shava. So you can't use it to teach us a Machru based in yes, a Moshe Atzmai no. The Idach, what does the Tanakhama answer to that? He says in Kem, Lemakro Oizen. The other way around, the Tanakhama says that, Rav Elazar says you need that word for the Xeda Shava. The Tanakhama, what does he say? That you still need it for the Xeda Shava. So how can he use it to learn that there's a difference between the two kinds of Eved? He says in Kem, Lemakro Oizen. Fine, but in that case, for the Xeda Shava, it could just say Oizen. Verotza Adonimus Oizen, by my say. I didn't have to say Oznoi. My Oznoi, why didn't say his ear? So therefore, we can learn that we have the Vav is a Miut, meaning only him and not a Mochrat. But the Idach, what does Rav Elazar answer to that? He said, no, Ahumi Boilet, Oznoi, Veloi Ozna. No, we need the Vav to teach us that Nirtza is only done for an Eved Ivri and not for an Omohevriya. If an Omohevriya wants to stay beyond her time, we don't pierce her ear, we just kick her out of the house. Which the point is, in other words, Rashi says, now at the end of the part in Parashas Re'eh, after it describes Yitzia, it says, Va'achla amos fatasa king. You should do the same thing for your maidservant. But we understand, and we're going to explain later on in the parak, that it doesn't mean that you do Yitzia for her, it means you do Ha'anaka for her. The gifts that you give are also for her. Anyway, the Idach, what does the Tanakhama answer back to that? He says, we don't need the Vav for that. Nafkala mi v'im the pasuk says, if the Eved speaks and says, Ahav yes, Adoni, etc., then you pierce his ear, implying ha'eved v'lay alma. So the word ha'eved is extra, and therefore it means not the alma. The Idach, what is Rav Elazar answer to that? Me'eved ha'eved nafka. He says, fine, but you have the Torah could have said, omer yoma eved, instead it says, being omer yoma ha'eved, so therefore you can learn both. You can learn that it applies only to an Eved and not to an Amma, and you can also learn that I skipped a line over here. The Idach Miborila Adshayoma Kshu Eved. So the Tanakhama, Rav Elazar rather would say that you need the word Ha'Eved for a different Drasha. You need to say Adshayoma Kshu Eved. He has to say Ahavti Esadoni, etc., while he's still an Eved. If he waits until the 6 years are up, then it's too late to say. We're going to talk about that in a few blocks. the Idoch, the Tanakama, we answer that. Me'eved ho'eved master. You can learn that. You can learn from the fact that Kura said, Imamu yoma eved, and it says as a ho'eved, so therefore you can learn both, that it applies only to an eved and not an oma, as well as the fact that, it's to say it rings an eved. The Idoch, Rabbi Elazar would say, eved ho'eved lo dardish, he's not doubting that distinction between eved and ho'eved, he doesn't hold that, that you would have had the extra vav over there when you learn something from it, so he says, in that case, you can only learn one thing from it, and therefore that drives the rest of this, that in the end, the Tanakhama is saying there is a difference between the different kinds, and Rabbi Elazar is saying that there's not, you don't have a reason in the Pasuk to make a distinction, and therefore you say the same din of Nirtzah applies to both of them. And we're going to continue, Rabbi Tavyumi is going to continue tomorrow, that's the Shaman, will continue talking about how we see the other things also. Well, again, we're saying the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar both agree, there is a Gzeda Shava, saying that a Mahru Atma and Moicha Atma and Mahru Basin are the same. However, in each of the things that Tanakhama disagreed and said that there's a difference, there's a specific miut in the Pasuk that says that this din applies only to one of them or only to the other of them. So we'll continue with that tomorrow. That's the show.
They both hold of
Zeta Shava. That's what the Gemara is saying. In the end, we thought Tanakhama does not hold of Zeta Shava. And according to him, we had to learn the concept of Kinyan Kesef from the Vav of V'chi Sasig, but now we're saying in the end you don't need that, they do both agree with the Gzeda Shava, and therefore where there's no miyot otherwise, then therefore we can use the Gzeda Shava.
At the end of this discussion, the halacha is like the Rabbanan?
The halacha is like the Rabbanan, yes. So only a Machru based in can have a shift, only a Machru based in can have a shift for Kananis, and so on and so forth.
Welcome over.